When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand and put my fingers in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts help us to live and love like you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week, I heard a story of a congregation that had limited parking spaces available. And so during times when there were big events, like an Easter Sunday, they had a parking team to help assist them. So last week, they were in full force, wearing orange vests, carrying walkie-talkies, trying to make this parking process as seamless as possible on such a big Sunday. But the major challenge was helping cars exchange spots in between services. Well, as you can imagine, the spots nearest to the sanctuary had been refilled well before the second service was set to begin. When a parking volunteer suddenly noticed that there was one car backing out of a prime parking spot right by the sanctuary. He was delighted to see that the next car that was approaching to turn in the lot was driven by an older woman who was coming alone. He thought to himself, "Well, how wonderful that I will be able to get her such a great parking spot on Easter." So the parking volunteer began enthusiastically waving his hands for her to come on into this full lot. She looked confused at first, and so he just waved all the more. And eventually she came in and she parked. And he went over as she rolled down her window to say, "Happy Easter." And her response was, "I don't go to this church. I've been a member at the Baptist church for 60 years. Have you ever felt like that? Like you got guided and parked in the wrong place and you weren't quite sure that's where you were supposed to be? Well, the truth is, a lot of us have been taught different things throughout our lives. Then we decide to park our cars in that space in our mind, when maybe we should keep driving. Maybe we should explore that a little bit more. For example, haven't most of us got stuck around our understanding of who Jesus' disciple Thomas was when we hear the scripture for today? We know him as doubting Thomas. Exactly. That's what Sunday school teachers taught us, because Thomas doubted Jesus' resurrection. And we must not, under any circumstance, be like doubting Thomas. But the funny thing is, to me, is that Thomas is so well known for his doubting when he wasn't the only one in the story that doubted that Jesus was gone for good. Because Jesus' first resurrection appearance, if we remember last week, was to Mary as she was weeping at the tomb, doubting the promise of everlasting life that Jesus had said. But when she figured out that Jesus was not the gardener, she proclaimed, "I have seen the Lord," to the disciples. Now, the disciples do not say, "Great, that's amazing, we believe you," as she's gasping for breath in the story of the resurrected Jesus. Instead, in the very next sentence, we see in this gospel, as it starts out for us today, that the disciples say nothing, and the only response that is given is that they go back to their houses and they hide behind a locked door. They doubted as well. Their disbeliefs and doubts were just as significant as Thomas's were. Thomas has been criticized all throughout history for asking for nothing more than the disciples received that day when the resurrected Jesus came to visit them behind a locked door. He asked for that same experience. And by the grace of God, Jesus returns a second time and offers his body as a living proof to Thomas. It's in the presence of Jesus that Thomas discovers he does not need the proof that he had demanded. Thomas's doubt ultimately leads to a deepened faith. And I argue that Thomas isn't a bad person sometimes, like we make him out to be, for doubting, for falling short, or for his disbelief. Instead, Thomas was honest with himself and with the community that surrounded him about his feelings and thoughts. And it was through the community and those relationships that he ultimately came to believe. Thomas takes on in this gospel reading a very real and genuine character that we can all relate to, whether we like to admit it or not. Because if I can speak honestly, there are times throughout my life that I have doubted, that I've lost my faith, or that I've struggled in the midst of a hard time. But one particular time shaped the rest of those times for me from that day on. While I was in high school, a good friend of mine completed suicide and sent my world into a tailspin. I doubted and I questioned my faith a lot during that time in the midst of this unexplainable grief. I had a wonderful pastor, though, that allowed me to question, to doubt, and to struggle out loud to her. And I remember on a number of occasions as I would talk to her about my faith and the struggle and the doubts that I had, I remember her looking me dead in the eyes and saying, "Laura Michelle, you might not be able to believe right now, but know that I am believing for you." That's what the community of faith is all about. When you can't pray, I'll pray for you. When you can't believe, I'll believe for you. And when you realize that God has been there every single step of the way, you can have it all back from me. Through that statement, she showed me the nail-scarred hands of the resurrected Jesus Christ. It's not that I haven't had moments of doubt or disbelief since that time, but her words ring in my mind any time I question, any time I struggle. This is what a community of faith is all about: praying for one another, believing and hoping for each other when we can't believe or hope for ourselves, and encouraging the hard questions to be asked, to be talked about out loud. The struggle is not in silence. Because what I've learned more than anything in my lifetime was that during those hard times, during the questioning, during the doubting, during the disbelief, God continues to show up in people everywhere, showing me the nail-scarred hands of the resurrected Jesus Christ. My faith is deepened by the questions, the prayers, and the people who hold my faith. So who has shown you Jesus' nail-scarred hands in the middle of a difficult time? Who has helped you proclaim the message that Thomas finally got to, my Lord and my God? Who has brought you to that place? But most important, how do you show Jesus' scars to others that doubt, question, and struggle with their faith? I think a lot of times we put doubt and faith at opposite ends, right? Because if you're a person of faith, you can't doubt at all. But the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is despair. No one, not one person, is immune to doubt. You see, there's no shame in disbelief, in doubting. In fact, if you are struggling with your faith, let somebody today know, so that we can be praying for you and with you along this journey. I think sometimes our culture is so focused on the individual that it's convinced us that faith is something that we must possess all by ourselves in sufficient quantities throughout our whole life. When faith from the beginning of time in creation has always been a team sport. When Jesus said, where two or more are gathered, I am with you, I don't think that Jesus meant to be like a diva needing a certain number of people to show up in order for him to appear. I think it means that we bear Christ to one another, that we hold the faith of one another on their behalf when they're struggling. Thomas's doubt leads to this amazing transformation. His life never got to be the same after that day that he put his finger into those nail-scarred hands. And ours doesn't get to be the same either. A 97-year-old woman, looking back at her life, said that the most significant event that ever happened in her life happened when she was a child. She and a group of friends had decided to do an afternoon climb of Mount Washington in New Hampshire. And before they were able to descend, a late afternoon fog rolled in and enveloped them in this thick white mess. They couldn't see to lead the way back, so they agreed that they would move down the mountain slowly, inch by inch. And they also agreed that they would hold each other's hands. They would not, under any circumstance, let go of each other. Remembering this event years later, as she told it in her late 90s, she said, "Sometimes all I could see was the hand in front of me and the hand behind me. And sometimes my arms hurt so badly, I thought that I wanted to cry out loud. But that is how we made it at last. We found our way home by holding on to one another." That is why we gather here on a Sunday morning, to be a part of a community that holds together God's people. So let us proclaim we have seen the Lord with a newfound confidence that it is most certainly true, whether we doubt or not. And then let us take this message out into the world, showing everyone the nail-scarred hands of our resurrected Lord and Savior, believing for them and praying for every single person. Amen.